I'll just say this. Used to be a saying in politics that, boy, I'll vote for the guy or gal that I want to have a beer with. Mm-hmm. And I think we are damnedly lucky here in the state of Wisconsin. Our two Democratic congresspeople, those are folks I want to hang out with, have a beer with. We've got one fabulous guest with us this afternoon. It is Congressman Mark Pocan of the 2nd Congressional District, going toe-to-toe yesterday with Russell Vogt, the architect of Project 2025, and literally the harbinger of doom for so many working Americans. Again, thank you for your excellent work yesterday in the committee hearing. We've been listening to a bit of that sound. If you missed any of that, you can always check it out. When we podcast our shows, go to civicmedia.us, check them out on Apple or Spotify Pods. How does a guy, I mean, Russell Vogt is, nobody voted for this guy.
Yeah.
And yet it seems that between Russell Vogt, Elon Musk, and Stephen Miller, they're the ones that are making the policy calls.
Yeah, Donald Trump is the celebrity, right? I mean, I blame the producers of Celebrity Apprentice for him. And I'll never forgive them because they took this multiple bankrupted business person who didn't pay his vendors, who was awful in every way, made him look successful, put him on TV, gave him some popularity, and then, you know, he became president. But the people behind him that are doing this, Russell Vogt is Project 2025. Like, he really is the calendar boy for Project 2025. And, you know, Stephen Miller is all the evil stuff around immigration that's out there. Elon Musk spent $270-80 million to elect the guy. Like, at the end of the day, Donald Trump is their puppet in some awful ways. And, you know, it's just, we've got to push back, and people want us to push back as hard as we can.
And I thank you for doing that. Elon Musk tweeting today, "You wouldn't have won the presidency without me."
Yeah.
The quiet parts are getting said out loud. I get very concerned when I think about the fact that Russell Vogt, a guy who I think 90% of Americans would be like, "Who the hell is that?" Right? They don't know who this guy is. They don't know who they maybe have heard of the Heritage Foundation, but they don't really know. Project 2025 is longer than freaking War and Peace.
Right. It is, pages, I think, or something.
Yeah, it is all of this dense wonkisms. It's hard to parse. But all of this is going to make Americans poorer, sicker, and more economically insecure overall. People will literally die because of what Russ Vogt wants to architect, all in the name of tax cuts for people that don't need any more handouts from the middle class. We've already given the top 1% from us bottom 90% folks $51 trillion since 1981. They don't need any more. Congressman, what do you want folks throughout the state of Wisconsin, but especially in districts, you know, Brian Stiles' district, in Derek Van Orten's district, what do you want them to do now that all of these MAGA regime folks in the state of Wisconsin have voted for this big, brutal bill?
Yeah, I mean, six Republicans, every Republican in Wisconsin in the House voted for a bill to take away Medicaid, health care from almost 14 million people, plus more through the cuts to the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. They voted to cut food assistance, the number one program keeping kids out of poverty, to 11 million people in the country. They're cutting education funding, Pell grants for people going to college. They even did things that they didn't need to do, like they took away the ratios in nursing homes for seniors, for staffing, and then this $500 billion cut to Medicare. You have to hold those people accountable. And, you know, Ron Johnson, only Ron Johnson could be Ron Johnson, in that he said it's not enough of cuts. So that's
it's
why
not cruel enough. I want Ron, Rojo got to go, but put that on the bumper sticker as you go out of Wisconsin. It's not cruel enough for Ron.
I know. So I'm not even going to talk about him because honestly, man,
lost cause
too much by the end of the day anyway. And that's a lot. But I'll tell you, I've been doing town halls in other districts, mainly the 3rd district, but I think we're going to start moving around to maybe a few other spots. And I've had 400 people show up in Brooklyn, 350 in La Crosse. Even on a Saturday morning in Eau Claire in summer with the farmer's market outside, we had over 125 or so folks. But they want to be heard. And right now, this is the smell test, the Wisconsin common sense values. If this was really a good bill, wouldn't they be going all around their districts telling people what's really in it for them? But instead, they're hiding in their basements because they're told not to do a town hall because they're going to do something like Jody Ernst and say everyone's going to die anyway because this bill will make people at the end of the day die in some cases. So, yeah. You know, we just have to, the common sense is this bill is bad or else they would be publicly talking about it. But then we got to hold them accountable. We have a way to do that next year. But right now, they're going to vote on a lot of other bad things. So contact your rep. If they're going somewhere, they're not doing public town halls, make any event they go to a town hall. Bring the media, tell them you're going to be outside the event and try to make that member of Congress answer. I used to do that when I was much younger to a member of Congress that I wanted to be heard on. I think people just have to be super participatory in politics.
Well, and whether or not you have the time to be able to come to a town hall to care enough to actually get past the rhetoric and focus on what the result is going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I talk about how do you know you're the mark of a political con? And it's when someone just keeps repeating the talking points and won't get down into any of the details. And that is, I don't care which Sunday talk show you're watching, it's all the same.
Yeah.
It is all the same all day long. And no one has mastery of the facts. One of those other tiny little bits that they snuck into the bill to bend a knee to their tech overlords and folks like Peter Thiel, who apparently got seed money from Jeffrey Epstein, right, who's the architect of J.D. Vance's political ascendancy. They snuck in this provision that says, oh, yeah, we won't regulate artificial intelligence for a decade. I don't know any legislator that I've ever met face-to-face, even in two dimensions, that's like, you know what I want to do? Is give away more of my legislative authority.
Yeah. No, well, Article 1 of the Constitution gives Congress the power of the purse, Congress the power to do tariffs, and we've completely given that up to Donald Trump, so that's already bad enough. But, you know, every member from Wisconsin has not spoke out on the Republican side. And, you know, Gwen and I are doing our best. Gwen is amazing. I love her. We went to an ICE facility on Monday, the only ICE facility in the state, to make sure we were doing our oversight responsibilities. But oversight responsibilities is actually knowing what cuts DOGE is making, is knowing what you're voting for in a bill, is not hurting your constituents when they're going to lose their health care or food assistance. And, you know, there has to be accountability. So, you know, if I were someone in a tighter district like Brian Stile or Derek Van Orden, you know, better figure out a way to listen to your constituents, or you better get to Costco and get a discount card so you can start buying Depends by the case, because, you know, you're going to be in trouble. This is not something that people want us to do, and they're doing it.
One of the things that I find really, specifically if we're talking about Congressman Stile and Van Orden, Stile, I can't believe I'm going to say this, at least has the good style, perhaps, to like stick to the talking point. I don't understand the DVO approach of I'm going to insult the hell out of people, I'm going to lie through my teeth, and then when asked to explain, I'm going to have an explosive anger episode. Like, if a constituent is asking you a question in good faith, even if they do so poorly or with tone that you take exception to, you're supposed to be the elected official and take their concerns seriously. I just don't get his entire approach to the very real concerns and the very real consequences that will impact his constituents.
People who have stability issues or perhaps are not as well informed about public affairs, despite being an elected official, I think that's kind of the response, right? In fact, I've noticed he'll actually, you know, put out people's social media who attack him on social media. Come on, social media is trolls, right? If you can't stand up to trolls, I mean, this guy's supposed to be a former Navy SEAL, and I've never seen anyone so afraid of his constituents, right? I mean, it just, but he is MAGA. He thinks that if you do the big lie like Trump, he's still saying no one will lose Medicaid off of the bill. And, you know, no one else, like I said, the Cato Institute, Moody's, all these other groups have all said we're going to add to the debt, and people are going to lose health insurance and food assistance. And he's still trying to lie about it.
Do you think so? This gets to the point. I think some of this is willful ignorance.
Yes.
I don't want to know. I'm not going to educate myself. And to me, whether it's Joni Ernst saying, let them all eat cake, excuse me, you're go ahead and die, or DVO just lying about the Medicaid problem. We're now seeing reporting in the New York Times that not only is healthcare purchased through the Obamacare exchange is going to get nearly double in cost for some people, it will push that also, the big brutal bill will push millions off of the exchanges and they will lose healthcare. He just lies. Do you think he's ever asked a staffer, hey, have you done the math? What is it that these Democrats keep saying? I don't think he asked the question, a complete lack of curiosity.
No, and you know, on Affordable Care Act, I'm glad you brought that up. $300 billion is being cut in subsidies. The whole idea is the subsidies make it affordable. But we were given fact that if we had a 60-year-old couple making $85,000 in my district with the changes in that bill, if they don't change them, they would have a 227% increase in premium, $16,000 additional for their health care because of these cuts. So, of course, some of those folks are not going to be able to do that, and they're going to lose their health care. And that's, again, being documented right now. But, you know, Derek is just doing what Donald Trump does, just give the big lie and let it stand out there. But he doesn't have the personality or the charisma, I guess you have to say, about Donald Trump. And therefore, I think, you know, he's going to be held more accountable at the end of the day.
Yeah, I believe someone said, oh, Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy. Oh, Mr. Congressman Derek Van Orten, you're no Donald Trump, which is weird. Is that as a compliment or a cut? Who knows? I mean, who knows? Congressman, when you look at sort of the work that comes next, for you in particular, what where are some of the places where you think maybe we can make an inroad, maybe we can reduce some harm? Where can there be some traction? What are you focused on for your next step, sir?
So we have amazing good news on the litigation front. Our founding fathers did a great job, and the rule of law is largely working. There's been over 250 lawsuits against the illegal actions of Donald Trump. 185 have already been adjudicated in a positive way for us. And Trump caves in. You know, Attorney General Josh Taco. Collins will tell you, when he's working with the other attorney generals, you know, other than a couple high profile cases, and he still is in legal, you know, legal battles over them, the Mr. Garcia in El Salvador and the AP News, but everything else, he just caves. So support the groups doing litigation. There's litigation trackers out there, and that's important. Communication. It's not misinformation. It's disinformation out there. We just have to counter it. So when Russ Vogt comes to a committee, and then we can share the video and the audio like you're doing, people will understand, oh, yeah, they're full of beep.
Beep.
That is important to have out there. And then finally, elections have consequences. We're hurt by them right now. But, you know, April, we sent the biggest national message. And it wasn't that we won that seat, and it wasn't that we won it by 10 points. It was the turnout.
Yes.
That turnout was so big. That was mid-level congressional turnout for an April nonpartisan primary. That's where we have some real power in the next year's election.
That is U.S. Representative for the 2nd Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin, Mark Pocan, our friend and yours. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please keep representing Wisconsin as you do, sir.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Maggie.
We're going to be joined on the other side by the Center for American Progress Action Fund Senior Fellow in Immigration, Tom Javits. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.